Running a pet business is no walk in the park. I've been there, done that, and sure have the campfire stories to prove it. That's why Pet Boss Nation created Camp Pet Boss, where you can relax at a beautiful lake, refuel your leadership confidence with our in-person activities, and reignite your passion for the pet business of your dreams with your pet industry peers and trusted experts. Camp Pet Boss is a one-of-a-kind business retreat that mixes conference learning sessions and camp-like activities for pet professionals and their dogs. When was the last time that you got away from your business, unplugged from the chaos, and reconnected with your inner entrepreneurial spirit? And I hope that you heard me, that your furry best friend could be there too. Get ready for the most amazing and unique in-person adventure for pet business owners and their dogs, happening this summer in Lake Delton, Wisconsin, August 27th through the 30th of 2024. Tickets will sell out, and one building is already booked solid. So I want you to hit pause on this podcast and visit camppetboss.com right now to make sure that you have a room reserved. Your ticket price includes all food, lodging, and seminars. Need another reason to secure your ticket early? How about a massive discount of savings of $850 off your ticket? That's right, early bird pricing is happening right now, but not for much longer. And I can't wait to hang out with you at camp this summer and share all those juicy Pet Boss stories around the campfire. It's episode 121, and I'm interviewing a self-proclaimed vet techpreneur with over three decades of experience in the pet care and veterinary field. I'm honored to interview Tia Rodriguez, a Pet Boss Club member and the owner of Super Tech Professional Pet Care Services in the Metro Atlanta area. Tia's company offers pet sitting and mobile vet tech nursing care, pet sitting, dog walking, light grooming, pet taxi, pet parent coaching, wedding pet escort, and more. Tia has a lifelong passion for pets and in recent years turned it into her full-time business. Our conversation reveals some misconceptions of the vet tech community, the superhero qualities of mobile vet techs, and ways to incorporate education into your customer's experience so that it's a win-win for you, a win-win for them, and ultimately a win for the pet that you're caring for. Welcome to the Boss Your Business podcast, the show for the local pet business owner. If you have a physical building, carry inventory, have a team, or dream of having one someday, then this podcast is for you. You'll hear honest conversations from pet pros working the streets of Main Street, where dog business is big business. I'm your show host, Candace Daniolo, the founder of Pet Boss Nation and a pet business coach. I've started, scaled, and sold three successful pet businesses, and now help mentor thousands of pet professionals to see success faster together. I'm sharing my favorite business tips with you, mixed with the latest secrets of what's working now, especially in this challenging world. So, if you're a pet supply store, grooming salon, dog daycare, boarding facility, pet sitter, dog trainer, or really anyone covered in fur, let's get started. My very special guest today, Tia, and I are going to have a great discussion, not just about her role in the pet industry, but also things that you should be thinking about as a pet care professional or even pet parent working with other pet care professionals. But Tia, you've been in this industry a long time, so that's why I know we have lots to talk about. Welcome to the Boss Your Business podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Where are you joining me from right at this moment?
At this moment, I'm in Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia. But your journey didn't start there, did it?
No, I'm a Bronx native from New York, and I didn't move to Georgia until 1997. Okay. So I've been here for quite a while.
Now, how did you get to this point? I want to hear it all. Start from the beginning and walk us through your petpreneur journey, or as you have even said, your vet techpreneur journey.
So I became a vet tech and after graduating from SUNY Canton in New York, which is very rural, upstate New York. I was studying there as a vet tech, but even before I went into vet tech school, I really wanted to be a veterinarian. My college advisors told me, with your grades, you probably won't make it into Cornell. You can try, but you won't. So maybe take some liberal arts classes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And then I eventually considered transferring to SUNY Canton. But before then, I was so driven and motivated to work in the field. And I knew I needed some kind of work experience to make me more appealing. And I begged and basically harassed the Animal Medical Center. I kept showing up and saying, I really want to work here. And they said, you don't fit into our program for high school students because you're not in high school and you're not a vet tech in a program. So we can't get you as an intern and you don't have any experience. So you can't, but kept hanging around and kept coming back and they eventually hired me.
I love that. It's like one of that whole scenario of you need me to have experience, but how am I going to get experience if nobody gives me a chance?
Exactly.
I love that hustle. I have a similar situation of I wanted to get into an internship with this big advertising agency when I was in college. There was a big advertising agency I wanted to work at and they didn't do internships. I didn't know that at the time. I kept trying to get an internship and they were like, we don't do them. And I was like, no, but I want to work there. And I remember there was one time, I think I've shared this story already on this podcast. I was getting my hair done and my hairstylist was like, my next client actually works at that company. So you can blow dry your own hair over here and I'll start up the conversation and then you guys can meet and maybe he'll point you to get, and I was similar. I could just see you like, you're like, how am I going to make this happen? That determination is there. We all need that. If we really want to pursue something, it's not just going to fall in our laps.
No. And they gave me a job. And while I was waiting to get accepted into vet tech school, I got the word and they said, you can go. Mm-hmm. And when you go and come back for the summers and the falls and whenever you're on break. And so I did that and graduated from SUNY Canton and then started working at the Animal Medical Center before getting accepted to Tuskegee mm-hmm. and for their veterinary program.
Okay.
And I also had a son. So my concern was going into college with such a rigorous program for vet school. I was really excited I got accepted, but didn't know how that would work with me being available to raise my son mm-hmm. As a single parent. And I deferred my acceptance for 2 years. And then they said, you got to make a decision. And I was already in Georgia. So I said, I'll just keep my veterinary technician degree and license and do that and just be the best mom I can be. And after my son grew up, decided to just turn it into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, really lean into this. Yeah. And so that's really exciting. And you now are doing this full time. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And your company is called Super Tech Professional Pet Care Services. Yeah. I love that you said that this kind of name and your logo, it's your business alter ego, the superhero character for some comic relief for yourself, but encouragement. Share more about that.
Yeah. So while I was working in the clinics, I kind of made this character called Super Tech. And I would put on a towel or pillowcase or blanket as a cape. And I would put on a glove to cover my head, because it was a cross between Fire Marshal Bill from Saturday Night Live, which is Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
But so I would come sliding through the floor as if I had flew into the room and just start telling jokes and give some comic relief to my coworkers. And I'd create a storyline where Super Tech would save the day. And so there'd be a problem with one of the pets and she had a solution. She'd save the day and leave. And they'd always ask, where's Tia? So that was my cue. And so I'd had to leave and turn back into Tia and come back and say, I missed Super Tech. So it was a really fun little thing I used to do. And I decided, since I am technically saving the day for a lot of pet parents and pets when I do in-home pet care, let's just keep the name.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Your personality shines through for sure there. I love it. Now, you are a Pet Boss Club member as well, and you've been active in our membership, joining the workshops, doing the work. And we'll talk about more about that later, but you had to make a decision to go into this kind of full time and really lean into being an entrepreneur and focusing and having the courage to believe in yourself that this would work. What was that like?
Sure. Yeah, I think in listening to other entrepreneurs in pet businesses and thinking I should really keep my full-time job as long as I can to help support the business until I'm ready to go full-time. But the fear was always there of the unknown of, yes, I've been successful doing this part-time, mm-hmm. but would it sustain me, and how would I build the business effectively enough to be successful full-time? And it wasn't until I lost my job towards the last quarter of 2020 in the pandemic, that it forced me to say, okay, go ahead and do it. And I did. It was time to stop doing all the research and just put my foot to the metal and get it going. And I did. And I'm here now and I'm so excited.
I love it. So can you explain the role of a veterinary technician and how it has evolved over the 3 decades that you've worked in the field?
Sure. A veterinary technician is basically your Jack or Jill of all trades in veterinary medicine. And so basically we're the assistant to the veterinarian in many different ways, but we're also an advocate for the pets and the pet parents. So we do everything from, and it has changed over the years because of technology and how diagnostics and machinery has changed how we do our job, but pretty much we do everything from the blood work to the handling of the animals, to grooming, to surgical assisting, dental procedures, educating the pet parents, and just basically being the eyes and the ears for the veterinarian to give them the information they need to make the diagnosis, to treat the pet, and to bridge the gap between the client and the veterinarian. We have over the years called ourselves the other family nurse. And while there's a war going on about what we should actually be called so that we can get the recognition for what we actually do, because we do a little bit more than a nurse and because of the technical aspect. But over time, our roles have changed along with technology and along with the way veterinary medicine is changing. So we're doing everything from becoming scribes to having specialties in our own fields. We're doing sales, we're doing outside work, we're doing pet parent coaching. So we've grown a lot. And I would say that mobile veterinary technicians are probably, it was almost unheard of for us to be outside of the clinic. And we're growing in our roles in providing not only pet care, basic pet care, but also that veterinary assistant type aspect inside the home. It helps the veterinarians because we help them with pet ownership compliance, with following the medications properly, educating them, answering their questions where they're afraid to maybe call the vet, but also maybe helping out pets that don't do as well in a veterinary clinic setting, but do better with handling and medicating in the home. And then we get to educate and teach the client as well how to do some of the procedures or handle the procedures and treatments that they can't do, maybe because they have PTSD with needles or the pet just doesn't let them do it. So we handle that for them.
Wow. What a beautiful service that you're providing with that mobile vet tech service there. I feel like a lot of pet parents know what a vet tech is because they see them at the veterinarian's office, but not every market, not every city has a mobile vet tech. And you and I were just in the Pet Boss Club, a workshop earlier just before this. And we were talking to another club member who has a treadmill company and they're runs dogs on treadmills. And we were talking about how a big important piece of her business would be to just raise awareness that this even exists because people might not be searching for that. I think the same thing could happen. And with mobile vet techs, people may not even know to search that.
Yeah, it was, to be quite honest, it was something we were discouraged from doing, even pet sitting as vet techs, because the bylaws in every state may vary, but what we can technically do, even inside the clinic, vary. So that's why there's like veterinary assistants and there's veterinary technicians. There's a difference in our roles, even though sometimes we're used interchangeably, but what we can and cannot do in the presence or direct supervision or outside of the direct supervision of a veterinarian varies between being a technician and an assistant. And so when we're in the home as pet sitters, there's a fine line between what we can and cannot do, in the sense that we can educate the client and advise them, but we cannot give technically medical advice as what they should do in a medical situation or diagnose. So that's something we'll refer them back to the veterinarian. But again, that's also why we work closely with the pet owners, veterinarians, to help them get the best pet care that they can get.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hear you using the term we a lot as you're talking about this. And so I'm curious, who is the we? Is this people on your team, or are you part of an association and a network for vet techs? Tell us more.
In my state, I know of several other mobile vet techs. There's two in Atlanta that we refer each other. We've actually met because we were all on a pet care list at a particular veterinarian's office. Okay. And so when they have lists of pet sitters and groomers and stuff, this particular veterinarian had lists of pet sitters and those that were registered vet techs that had businesses. We met, and all of us do different things. So some of us just do specialty care and hospice care. Some of us just do pet sitting, and I do a mix of everything. But there are other states that have other vet techpreneur businesses. That one is Scoop in New York City, and she has an ambulance service that helps with emergencies and pet transport to the veterinary hospitals. But she also does pet care and veterinary nursing in the home. And then there's others that do training and pet business coaching for other vet techs that might want to do this. Oh. So we're in different places, but we were discouraged in the past because maybe we were thought that we might go outside of the scope of our business.
You're competing with the veterinarian or going behind their back or something. I feel like that could be a misconception.
It was definitely a concern. And I've known people that their licenses were challenged. And so they either decided to either lose their license in the state or just lose their license altogether because they still had the knowledge to do what they were doing and they weren't really working outside of the scope of veterinary practice. But as a pet sitter, they were still allowed to do those. So mm-hmm. they just mm-hmm. chose to drop the licensure.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the pet sitting piece a little bit. In your experience, what distinguishes professional pet sitting from more casual arrangements? We encourage, obviously we have a lot of professional pet sitters that are listening to the podcast, but I bet my neighbors are still fine calling the little kid down the street to come and feed their pets or not making sure that they're working with a professional pet sitter. What are the key differences between that? And I'd like to just know, you've shared what you can do there, but why would I choose a vet tech pet sitter over another pet sitter?
I think that everybody's business has its place and its function. Mm-hmm. I don't discount regular pet sitters, but I think that a professional pet sitter differs from a vet tech, a mobile vet tech, or a vet tech pet care service, in that a professional pet sitter will have licensure and bonding insurance to cover situations that may happen within the business. They're more knowledgeable, they're trained, they should be CPR and first aid trained for pets. And they pretty much will know how to take care of situations, basic pet care for the pets. Mm-hmm. A vet techpreneur that is doing in-home veterinary nursing care or pet sitting, their advantage is that they might be a lot more knowledgeable with certain signs and symptoms of particular situations, how to handle or care for an animal that is either recovering or has a certain medical condition, and also is able to do treatments, medications, and other types of care that maybe your kid down the street cannot do, or an experienced pet sitter maybe doesn't feel comfortable doing because they don't have the knowledge or the expertise, or it's really something that a medical professional should do. And so a lot of the clients that choose me, even though their pet may not have a medical condition, they appreciate the experience that I have as a veterinary technician and they feel more comfortable knowing that if there's a problem with my pet, you'll know what to do. And so even in some of our documents and how we handle certain procedures and the questions that I ask when I'm talking to clients and we're doing a meet and greet, they often say, wow, I never thought about that. Or you're asking questions I've never heard of. And that sets me apart from regular pet sitters, maybe that they might meet that are just doing this as a hobby versus they're a professional pet sitter or they have a veterinary experience.
Yeah. Would you be open to sharing one or two of those questions? I know our listeners would love to hear.
Sure. When I do our get acquainted visits, a lot of times I'll ask things about how their pets are, how they behave, how they respond to visitors. And I let them know that sometimes that interaction may be different than what you're accustomed to because you are the pet parent. You will not be here. And the pet is seeing a stranger that they might have met once or twice now trying to do some of these things. I often arrange, especially if I have to give injections or a certain treatment, I often arrange that meeting time to be at a time so I can be the one to do it so they can see how their pet may interact without their interference. Mm-hmm. But I also ask them where's their main water line? Do they have a fire extinguisher? Where is their breakers? Because I did have a case where a couple was going for their destination wedding. And the morning of their wedding, I came to the house and there were cracks and fissures all in the driveway, all the way up to the house and water sprouting out. And so I had to call the group. Hey, don't tell her.
Don't tell her.
It's just happening. And who are your emergency contacts? So that's another thing.
Not just for the pet, but yeah, for the home. Yeah. Cause you're going into their homes.
And so if I had known where the main water break was and certain other things, I could cut that off. So he had a friend come over and help, but I also make them give me emergency contacts more than one, because one case I had when I was a beginning pet sitter was the lady didn't want to give me an emergency contact and she did not come back at the time we were expecting. So 2 or 3 days later, I heard back from her. And it was because she had a car accident and she had broken her arm. She was in the hospital. So she was glad that, okay, not only do you keep checking on me and you make sure I'm coming back, or you would have had an emergency contact had I given you one so that next of kin could know that something's wrong, but you didn't just assume my life is going on and your pets weren't starving. So,
So I know that responsible pet ownership is really important to you. So how do you incorporate this education about being a responsible pet owner into your services?
Yeah. So I like to make sure that I get vaccination history from all clients, and which they often sometimes feel is weird, even veterinary clinics when I ask for it, because they're unfamiliar all the time with a pet sitter asking for that. If you're in the home, why do you need vaccination history? And I feel I need that because if I'm going into another home after being in an unvaccinated home and I'm going to an immunocompromised pet's home, I want to make sure I'm taking precautions. Maybe I'm changing my clothes if this cat sneezed on me. Maybe I'm doing some other things, how I consider the care of that pet. And also for my own safety, if they're not up to date with rabies. Mm-hmm. I try to make sure that with responsible pet ownership, I'm educating the client on things that I see that could be potential signs and symptoms of a problem, or things that they've relayed to me that maybe another pet sitter might not even be familiar in having a conversation about. Have you talked to your vet, or have you had blood work on your pet lately? You might want to consider telling the vet that your pet is having some of these conditions. And then a lot of times I'm sending them information about maybe how to prepare your pet for your baby that's coming, or how to make sure that for the holidays, your pet is not in a situation where they're going to get sick, or they might run away, they might flee. And a lot of times some pet owners are aware of some of these things. And a lot of times they're not.
No, I bet most aren't.
that information with them and taking the liberty to do that, they really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I'm helping people find out that their pet has a lump, or they have a thyroid issue, or the vomiting is not just a hairball issue. Vomiting is not good. So you need to get this checked out, and here's why.
Yeah. And it's, I love that, really plays into the phrase of the other family nurse being there for sure. Because a lot of us, unless we've had experience in our own stories and journeys with a situation, we wouldn't know that something might be a sign or a symptom of something more serious. Like with Dory, even my little white Pomeranian, she is adorable. She looks like a little like mini polar bear, and she's the love of my life. Sorry, Joey and Carmine. No, but she was coughing a little bit, and I was like thinking, oh, it might be allergies or hairball. Again, she like licks herself a lot. So I didn't think much of it. I'm here from a boarding perspective, because having a doggy daycare and a boarding, I thought maybe that was kennel cough, but she's not even around other dogs. We don't board her other places. Like she wouldn't be exposed to that. I had no idea that it was actually a symptom of having a heart murmur and that fluid could be in her lungs. I had never had experience with that. So I didn't even realize that was that symptom. So if I had you in my area here caring for my animal, you would have pointed that out, I'm sure, and been like, Candace, I think you need to check this out.
There was one cat that comes to mind that the owners, when I met them, they said, we have three cats and one of them is having some allergies or something. She's on a special diet. She's a fraidy cat, so she won't let you come near her. But we don't know where this is coming from, and nothing has seemed to be helping her, but this is her issue. And when I was like, okay, so when I was scheduled to come, it was around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the home, I immediately came in, and from downstairs, and they had a three-level home, from downstairs, I could smell a pine scent. And I came in and I couldn't figure out where it was coming because they didn't have a tree. They had a diffuser going. And it was in the same room where the cat liked to stay. Mm-hmm. And so I let them know, I said, how long have you had the diffuser going on? And how often do you use this scent? Because I love it, but I'm concerned about how it may be affecting your pet. And it turns out that the pine oil can be toxic to pets. And even though you have it in a diffuser, it's spraying tiny molecules of the oil around. And so the pet may lick that, the pet may smell that. And if they come in close contact with it, it can make them sick. So I said, when you come back, please talk to the vet. I'm going to unplug it now. But when you come back, talk to the vet about the problems. And they did find that the pet did better when the diffuser was off and they took the pet off the allergy meds.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. You probably saved that cat's life. Yeah. So you have had all this pet experience and have all this knowledge over the years of caring for animals. And now you've gone into this business full time. And now you've got big business goals and you want to learn more about running a successful business. I'd love to just switch gears now into what it's like running this mobile vet tech business. So give us a taste. What's a day in the life of Tia look like?
A day in the life of Tia looks like I'm going to visit new clients, and I come and I spend some time with them learning about their pet's habits and medications and checking those and making sure that they're giving those correctly, and then setting up the dates for them. And I go into the homes of those pets and visit with them. I interact with them if they allow that. I make sure that the home is secure, that there's no noticeable issues, that maybe the pet is having a medical problem. I do look over the pet a lot of times and feel over the pet to see if I find any lumps, bumps, anything new that maybe the owner doesn't know about. I feed them, walk them, exercise them, sometimes provide enrichment activities for them if the client requested that. And if they're a medical patient, then I take care of their treatments, like giving fluids and medications, bladder expressions, maybe rebandaging something. And then I send them a pet report card, which lets them know how the visit went, with a written summary, with pictures and video, which they really love, because it not only lets them feel like, okay, I'm not just hearing that my pet is doing fine, I can see my pet is doing fine.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I love that. And then somewhere along the way, you're fitting in all your marketing and catching up on bills and all the emails and all of that. Yeah. So what motivated you to join the Pep Boss Club, our business coaching program?
Okay. I had been watching podcasts, and I think I found you first on Facebook. And while I had been looking at other pet business coaches and following podcasts, I really was trying to decide who to go with. And I think listening to your story and listening to the podcast and following you on the Facebook groups and seeing everyone's interactions, I really felt that your story was more relatable to me. I could relate to it and feel like, hey, somebody gets me. They know the issues that I'm going through. It's not maybe things I've shared with other people that aren't in the industry. The industry, you knew what problems I was having because you went through it. And I said, that's the type of person I want to help guide me and lead me, because I need some help with my business and growing it and knowing what to do next in this stage. And so I finally bit the bullet and went to the pet boot camp. And I was just so excited to be there, seeing all the other pet businesses and networking with those people, and then going into the different groups and hearing recommendations and seeing the Pet Boss Nation resource library and all the things that I was asking other local pet businesses to help me with that they weren't helping me with. I was like, this is what I need, this right here.
Well, I love it. It's been a joy to have you in our program, because you're committed to your education and learning, and you're committed to your progress. And are there specific aspects of the membership that you really enjoy the most?
Yes, I love the lives, because I love education. I love education. So it's almost like I'm there in the classroom and we get to ask questions. I love the Q&As. I love the resource library too, because if I have a specific issue, I can just go into it and look back at the replays, look at the resources that you've given and use them right there. I don't have to wait until an event comes up or be a certain level of a member to know the basic things that I'm trying to get to. So that is so helpful. I love that.
Oh, I love it. So has there been an impact yet since you've been inside the club? Tell us more.
I've definitely changed my mindset about how I look at things, which still, I think I was operating in a lot of fear of the unknown. And I've learned through the Pet Boss Nation that in order to move forward, I have to put my foot forward. I have to put some action into it to gain momentum into where I really want to go. And so I started trying new things. I changed my pricing. I did packaging and bundles in addition to the add-ons I had on. And so I looked at it and it was like, I can do this differently. This will work better than this, according to what they said. And then I tried doing some of the sales that you said and more emailing out, because I hadn't been doing that. Logically, it made sense that, okay, if you're not putting all of this out, don't be scared to email your clients all the time. Email them. So they know what's going on more than just once a month or here and there. And then the graphics and the marketing tools that you have for every month. Because I've always been big on ideas, but sometimes implementing them and knowing when and how much and not overwhelming myself was key. So I'm using the graphics, using the marketing plan to build myself up in those areas and generations.
Yeah, it sounds like you're taking lots of action. So hopefully there's been some positive results from all.
Yes, I had some good sales in December for the gift certificate idea. I did implement that, and slowly but surely, because it's a lot of information and I really had to get some things in place first. But yeah, I'm trying to implement everything that I'm learning in bits and pieces so I can move forward.
Oh, that's lovely. Awesome. Tia, it's been such a great opportunity to have you here today, and I've enjoyed our conversation so much. I like to end my guest spots with the question of, what does bossing your business mean to you? So I'm curious what that specifically means to Tia.
Okay. Bossing my business means being committed and focused on making sure that my customers are at the center of my services.
I love that. Yeah. Because it is without them, where would we be?
Knowing what that audience is and how to serve them and how to present the business to them, without that, I just wouldn't succeed at all.
They're the most important piece. I love that. Okay. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, Tia, where do they find you?
They can go to supertechpetcare.com or they can call 770-240-1033. They can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Supertech Pet Care.
Fantastic. All right. If you have a pet in need in your area who could benefit from a vet tech coming to your home and helping you be the best pet parent possible, please look into that. And if you want to follow Tia, go follow her on social media. We love following her and we love celebrating all the successes that you're having and continue to help you grow your business this year together.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Wow, we surpassed 75,000 downloads of this podcast. I just can't believe it. So thank you so much for tuning in every week and for being part of the show. It would mean the world to me if we got to 80,000. Could you imagine? And then, oh my gosh, all the way to 100,000, my mind would be blown. So to do that, I need your help though. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast in case you haven't done that. Plus, I would love for you to tell other pet professionals about the amazing resources and ideas and strategies and tips and stories that myself and our clients and the people that we feature bring to you every single week, okay? So recommend this show to your fellow pet industry professionals. Have them visit petboss.com/podcast and they'll find all the old episodes and exactly how to connect with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It really means so much to me that you choose this podcast as part of your business education and journey here in the pet industry. Thank you.